Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the Detroit Free Press ran an interesting feature article on the subject of why a pigeon walks so funny. In case you didn't know, a pigeon walks the way it does in order to see where it is going. While it is in motion, a pigeon is unable to adjust its focus to see clearly. It literally must bring its head to a complete stop between steps in order to refocus. And that is why a pigeon walks as follows: head forward, stop, head backward, stop, and thus it walks. Dear friends, because we live in such a fast-moving world, we might do well to take a lesson from the pigeon. Learn how to do a pigeon walk in terms of what we are doing with our lives, where we are going with our lives. We need to pull up from the often maddening pace. We need to stop and refocus. We need to rest our sights on where we are in relation to the will of God. We need to have a clearer view of the Christ presence in our midst and in our lives. Let us stop, therefore, to refocus now on one of the real mysteries in the gospel and what it means for our life. The mystery lies in the fact that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, came doing so much good, healing people, forgiving people, comforting people, bringing people the good news about how God loves them infinitely and offers wholeness of life to those who say yes to him. Everywhere he went, he brought the good news of new life. And yet, the religious people of the time, the leading citizens of the time, the educated people of the time rejected him instantly and almost before he had begun, murdered him. Why? What was really at the root of their problem with Jesus? Why their fear and then anger and then hatred? The hostility towards Jesus begins to show up very early in the gospel record. In the third chapter of Mark, notice how early in the story, the third chapter. And the sixth verse, notice how early in the chapter. Although Jesus' ministry has barely begun, the religious leaders already are planning his execution. The Pharisees went out, Mark tells us, and immediately held counsel with Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Mark chapter 3, verse 6. From then on, the scenario of hate increases in crescendo like a Wagnerian opera. Those religious leaders try everything they possibly can to get him, and of course, they do before very long. Also, in the third chapter of Mark, there is a phrase which translates from the Greek as hardness of heart. The Greeks believed that the heart was the center of a person's real being, not the head as so much in our time. But the heart was the center of our thoughts and our feelings and our desires. It was the center of who you really are. And the phrase hardness of heart suggests that there is a possibility of the heart trouble for us, for all of us that in addition to the hardening of the physical arteries of the heart, there can be a hardening of the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual arteries of the heart. When Jesus looked around at those who hated him from the start, the gospel writer tells us that he was grieved at their hardness of the heart. Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Dear friends, one of the groups who led the opposition to Jesus was the Sadducees. These were the professional clergy whose lives centered in the religious institution. They had status, they had prestige, and they were comfortable financially. They insisted on the literal interpretation of the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And when Jesus came into their lives preaching the incredible good news of a spirit-filled religion, telling them that the spirit within and not obedience to external law was primary in their relationship with God and neighbor, they resisted violently. Religious leaders, though they were so centered in themselves, so unwilling to acknowledge that God could have a further word of enlightenment for them, so fearful of anything they saw as a threat to their status and prestige, that any idea of change coming into their lives was totally repugnant to them. They were stubborn, prideful, self-centered, and callous. In biblical language, they were sorely afflicted with hardness of heart. Consequently, when Jesus came with the good news of a religion of the Spirit, it was bad news to them. And they lashed out in their fear and they lashed out in their anger, determined to destroy him. This should be frightening to us as a religious people. In a sense, we live under the shadow of the Sadducees and Pharisees. Here we are with all of the religious possibilities of the gospel open to us, and we resist so very often. Jesus Christ keeps coming with the good news, offering us freedom from anxiety, offering us wholeness of life, offering us the opportunity to be beacons of hope in our families and in our community and in our world. And we feel threatened by it because it means change. If we want to enrich our lives and begin to grow and develop into the persons God wanted us to be, we must remain open to the possibility that He might have a further word of enlightenment for us, even if it sounds risky, even if it seems to threaten our security, even if it means being different, even if it means letting go of certain values we have been conditioned to conform to. In today's gospel, Jesus says to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, "The light has come into the world, and men love darkness instead of light. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought by God." Dear friends, how to know and do what is true is crucial to our lives. We must take up our cross every day and follow in his footsteps. Jesus commands us, "Only in so doing will it be clearly seen that our deeds have been wrought by God." If friends, we cannot do what is true merely by keeping a holy, just and good law. We cannot do what is true merely by disciplining ourselves. We cannot do what is true merely by being as good as the next fellow. We can do what is true only by faith. We can do what is true only when we live in the constant conviction that God is good, that God is trustworthy, that God cares about us, that God's promise of eternal life, eternal fulfillment in and through Jesus Christ is real. Come to the light, dear friends. Do what is true so that the world may know that God sent His only Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that it might be saved through Him. Do what is true so that others may clearly see that God is trustworthy, God cares, God keeps His promises. May God bless us. Amen.